Today on Real Life Radio.
Most people will say, I'm going to go to heaven. How do you get there? What's the directions? I can tell you how to get to L.A. Tell you how to get to Nashville. Jesus said, I can tell you how to get to heaven. All those who put their trust in me and believe in me, though a man may die, yet he lives.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2, continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. In these final verses, Peter is filled with emotion. His parting words are spoken without compromise, and yet they come from the heart of a shepherd. Peter's unwavering love for the church is an expression of his faith in Jesus Christ. So sharing what lies ahead for the world and what's in store for the true believer in Jesus Christ, it really has become his passion and his focus. Now, Peter's last words before he himself is crucified are written for our benefit, that as followers of Christ, we're to keep our faith alive and our head in the game, really, to live out our own days with an intensity, with a purpose, and to keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Life here on earth, really, it's not all there is. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that heaven is a place where we will see our fellow believers again. For the Christ follower, there are no goodbyes. Instead, we simply say, see you soon. But until we meet again, Peter encourages us to stay the course, to not only keep our thought life on Christ, but to trust him as well. And now in his message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Why do you believe what you believe? When somebody says, this is the Jesus I believe in, ask them, why?
Amen.
Oh, this is the church that I go to. They teach thus and so, and you've got to be baptized in our water. It's the only one anointed by God, yeah? And you've got to only hear from our leaders, and you've got to attend our location, and if we approve of you, and the blah, 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 and then when they're all done, say, why? And the brakes slam on. It's so, so powerful. I'll give you a thought right now. I'm going to give you a verse. A lot of people have struggled over this because of being taught wrong. I'm not going to say who, but one time a well-known pastor and I had a head-on collision over this verse I'm about to read you. And I said, how in the world can you teach what you just taught when this is who it's addressed to? And he simply said, because this is how I was raised. That's not an answer. I'm going to give you a verse right now that has rocked a lot of Christians' hearts and caused them to be painfully troubled, and it never needed to happen if you're a Christian. Are you ready? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or completion, not laying again the foundation of repentance. We've already dealt with all that. That's behind us. From dead works and of faith toward God. That's already been settled. Verse 2, and of the doctrine of baptisms, that's water and spirit, of laying on of hands, of resurrection from the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. Verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, if they leave the faith, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again themselves the Son of God and have put him to an open shame. You know, people have read that and said, oh my gosh, I backslid and now I can't come back to Christ. That's not what that means. Oh, I used to be a Christian and then I messed up, and according to that verse, God won't have me back. That's not what that means. In fact, a big hint is it's written to the who? Hebrews. If you say today, Jesus is Lord, he died on the cross for my sins, and you say the prayer, if you think you're saved because you say the prayer, you're deceived. You might as well go buy a rabbit's foot. But if you pray that prayer understanding, I just put my sin in the hands of Christ and I just received his righteousness, it's called salvation, and with that being settled, I'm moving on with Jesus. Let's grow. Let's get up and grow. And if you watch and see and you feel God and you see God move and you've got these things that are happening in your life, but over time, you begin to say, you know, it just doesn't do it for me anymore. This is so dangerous. So what? You know, I mean, I used to go to church. It's just a lot of the stuff I used to believe. I don't know if I'm tracking. Have you ever heard people talk like this before? I have. So what are you saying? I don't know. I've been going to this meeting though across town. This group of people, and we studied the Bible. We studied the Bible different. And there's this guy. He says this, and then here's where we've come. It's and they give you an explanation. So wait, I'm gonna have to ask you, are you trusting Christ for your salvation? Yeah, but is he the way, the truth, and the life? Well, you see, in the context of what Jesus said then, are you hearing me, people?
Yes.
You know what they're saying? I've tasted of the heavenly gift. I tasted of the power of the age to come. And I'm leaving it. I'm going back to another form, another attempt to redeem myself. The writer says, just know this. There's no other hope of salvation for you. There's no other way. You walk away from that as your foundation for salvation, Christ, and you ain't got nothing. If you think that you can be renewed back into your walk with God by foreign means, man-made religions, not going to work. It's impossible. Here's the bottom line. These are people who believed in God and even might have even exhibited spiritual influences upon their lives. They might have been even very charismatic, but in time, they give up. They didn't lose their salvation. Oh, no. They never had it. Dangerous. And then we're going to end. We have to end with this. The third and final thing is verses 17 to 18, is that before I let you go, don't forget, we'll meet again. Can you imagine Peter? Bye, you guys. Bye. Oh, it's only for a moment. I love how Christians say goodbye. I've told you this before. Remember that? We have a word around here. What is it? Anybody remember? Yeah. See ya. That's how Christians say goodbye. Even when someone's dying, look into their face. Hey, man, brother, sister, see ya. I'll see you. See you later. Yeah, amen. I'll see you later. See ya. I don't even like saying farewell. That's heavy. Farewell. That sounds kind of permanent. I don't know if I like it like that. You know what's great in Hawaii? You can't figure out if you're coming or going. Aloha. Exactly. Aloha. What does that mean? Are you just coming? Aloha. What does that mean? Could mean I'm leaving. Could mean I'm coming. I love that. See ya. Any Christian passing away, we say to them, I'll see ya. I'll see ya. I'll see ya. And they look back at us and they say, I'll see you. It's beautiful. Amen. You therefore, beloved, verse 17, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Remember that. Defend the fact that Christ has promised you. He'll do it all. Verse 17 goes on to tell us, that because we're going to see each other again, we'll meet up again, we need to be prepared. Watch out. Be strong against those who will lead you astray, the wicked who will lead you into error. The Christian that is investing their life in the Bible. Listen, in God, you watch somebody from this perspective. Are you guys all listening? We're almost done. From this angle, you're looking, you're watching, and we're all in the family together, and we're growing, and we're holding each other up, and we're helping each other along, and we're in the family. We need one another like that. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to make the determination to be careful what you hear and how you hear. The challenge right now at this hour is to draw your affection and your attention away from the Bible and into the things of this world. And you know they're being effective when you are rattled. When you get rattled, they're winning. But when the peace of God comes in, yes. Yes, Lord. You've got this. God's moving. I've been alive 60 plus years. I'm telling you right now, I have never seen God move like he's moving right now in the world. Yes. Jesus Christ, my friend, listen, hang in there. There's going to be more and more deceivers coming. Jesus said that's the case, but the fact is Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And verse 18 tells us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. That is, position yourself. And that's where Peter would leave us right now. Listen, position yourself. Position yourself. This is key. So watch. I went through this stuff. I want to read this to you. This is from a theologian from Netherlands. He's long gone now. Simon Kistmaker, he said, quote, if the believers are to be looking forward to living eternally in a home of righteousness on the new earth, then now on this earth ought they to be practicing righteousness. That's true, you know. The Christian who is by title, they're like waiting for the kingdom to come. Yeah, you know what? I'll pray when Jesus comes back. Well, you won't need to pray. He'll be back. Well, you know, I'll get serious when... Listen, I say Christian. A real Christian can't think like that. It's in the Holy Spirit in us is saying, I want you to practice living your life here and now, kingdom life, that when the kingdom comes, it ain't going to be much of a difference for you. Amen. Friends, listen, we're almost done with this entire epistle. Peter is saying, live your life in such a way, Christian, until I see you again, that you're living kingdom life now. Yes, we're tripped up by sin, and yes, we live in a fallen world. That's why there's grace, and that's why there's repentance to get us back on course, but act kingdom-like. And listen, theologians argue, and it's a great argument. The funny thing is, there's only two arguments. When they give both their arguments, and they demand you pick one, I pick both. Here's the reason why. There's a great group of theologians that say this, that verse 18 means, you start acting out kingdom life until Jesus shows up. What's wrong with that? Right on. The other group says, oh, you don't have to do it. It's the Holy Spirit in you. He'll do kingdom life in you until he shows up. What's wrong with that? You know what I think the answer is? I think the Holy Spirit in you is the kingdom of God. That's what he represents. And him working in you, watch this, I'm gonna prove it in a moment. Him working and living in you, he has you do those things because watch, he has you do those things. Both theological camps are right because the Spirit of God produces fruit in you and you're walking like Jesus in this world. Which winds up on this end of the theological argument, you acting out or doing good works to the glory of God. Amen. It's a natural flow from the Spirit of God at work in you. It's God's righteousness working in you and bringing you to completion in Christ until we meet again. It's what he's doing. I have a little checklist. Look, can you see it? In fact, at the top, I put pre-flight checklist. I got my pilot's license in 1982. And when you do that, you don't live without a checklist. And you know what? You never get to the plane and go, you know what? I've looked at that checklist for years. I'm not going to look at it this time. If anybody ever does that, don't get in that plane. Imagine the guy, hey, welcome aboard United Airlines. I've done this so much, I'm not even going to use radar today. We're gonna head from Los Angeles and we're going to go straight to Hawaii and we'll get close. Done it enough. No, I'm off. Get me off. Pre-flight checklist. Are you a Christ follower? Listen. Number two. Who are you when you're alone, all by yourself? That answer's number one. Are you a Christ follower? I don't know. Well, who are you when you're alone? What do you do when you're alone? Number three, what are you in the dark when no one's looking? Four, is Jesus Christ your greatest desire? Is the greatest desire in your life, the overriding passion, Jesus Christ? What does your thought life say about who you are if it was projected to the world constantly? What would people know about you? Where do you think you're going when you die? How are you going to get there? How do you plan on getting there? And do you know the way? Do you know the way there? Because most people will say, I'm going to go to heaven. How do you get there? What's the directions? I can tell you how to get to LA. I can tell you how to get to Nashville. Jesus said, I can tell you how to get to heaven. All those who put their trust in me and believe in me, though a man may die, yet he lives. For all those who put their trust in me will never be put to shame. I lay down my life and I raise it up again. And I will do so to all those who trust me. And I will glorify them, even as my heavenly Father has glorified me in raising me from the dead. You want to go to heaven? You want to meet up with the rest of us? Well, before I let you go, you need to pray. Father, we thank you. Church, let's stand together. Father, we thank you right here, right now, over this overwhelming fact that we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we became followers of Jesus. We have discovered that we are living stones that have been assembled as the church. It's not concrete, rebar, it's not glass. It's not even stones. It's living stones. With your people. We've learned, Lord God, that we are to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks of us for the hope that lies within us and to answer them with respect and dignity. We've learned a lot about false prophets, false teachers, false churches that would abound in the last days. We learned that no matter where we would go in the great diaspora, the great persecution of the house of God, the people of God, that you'd never leave us. We've learned also that there are demonic powers that are so bad that some have been reserved in the chains of darkness until the last great day of deception. We know that there are our enemy forces. We learned in this study of these epistles that Satan is like a lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. But we don't need to worry about that because we can resist him steadfast in the faith. We learned that we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ and that the blood of Jesus is our firm foundation. We're grateful to you, Almighty God. And at this moment, friend, today, those questions maybe haunt you. How do you know if you're going to go to heaven? Tell us, how are you going to get there? And who are you when you're alone in the dark? What do you think about the most? Do you have the answer to these? And are they pleasing to God? If you're in this gathering today, or if you're watching right now, today's the day. Now's the acceptable time. I am happy to report the way the world is going, we don't know where we're going to be soon, either here or in heaven, but time is short. And you need to give your life to Christ right where you're at. If you want today to become a follower of Jesus and be transformed, pray to him now something like this: Jesus, I'm convicted with those thoughts of who I am alone, my thoughts being known by others, let alone you, God. I can't say that you're my biggest passion. My life is torn by other affections. Power, money, sex, I'm divided. I'm like a reed blowing in the wind. I don't want to live like this anymore. Jesus, my sin honestly is ever before my face, and I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to hear my confession today that I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and that he rose again from the dead for me. And that if I put my trust in him, he'll save me, as he said, and wash my life clean by the power of his blood. And that he'll set your Holy Spirit in control of my life now, today. And that you're coming back again. Lord, I pray that you would christen these as their feet are about to hit the pavement. They're going to go to the community and beyond. Dear God in heaven, that you would so fill them and baptize them in the power of your Holy Spirit that, Lord, in these last moments of church history, nothing would deter us from the race. God, that you would come upon us and we would be, Lord, those experiencing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the boldness of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, that we would live and finish the course. Father, we praise and thank you now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Before I Let You Go, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Do you feel the growing tide of hostility in this world? It's almost unavoidable. The frustration, the outrage, and the victim mentality that takes over respect and reason. But how do we share our faith in a society that's godless? And how do we stay rooted in biblical truth in such an angry world? And how do we continue to publicly testify for Jesus? Our book of the month for August is called We Will Not Be Silenced, written by Erwin Lutzer. It prepares us to live out our faith by gaining a better understanding of legitimate hurts like racism, sexism, and poverty. When our culture gives us a toxic response and disguises it as a solution, We Will Not Be Silenced shows us how to respond to those outside the faith with compassion and gentleness without affirming their beliefs. So, are you ready to move beyond fear and boldly represent Christ? Our world is watching what we do, and the world needs Jesus right now more than ever. We Will Not Be Silenced by Erwin Lutzer is a must-read for strength and encouragement, and it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.